Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for having compassion on all the people of the world by living on our world for a time in order that you might fulfill the law of God and offer your life as a ransom for all people. Help us to continually confess our sinful lack of love for others and to grow in faith and love for you so that we are assured of God's forgiveness and eternal life. Give us hearts that love you and our neighbor so that we show your love to those in need around us. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 23rd verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you see, and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' Then he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down from that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to them, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 2 or 3 did you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thief?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people of God who are living under both law and gospel, many people would say that the Good Samaritan parable is the essence of Christianity, and indeed of all religions. To love one's neighbor is what it's all about. Others would see our text as gospel and state that if we love our neighbor, surely then we will go to heaven. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Now the Christian church needs people to show Christian love, especially to those who are oppressed and downtrodden. But all too often, helping others is inconvenient, or it takes too much time and money, or people are too busy and they pass by on the other side. Furthermore, James says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphan and the widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Judged by this standard, we might ask ourselves, are we able to go to heaven? Have we shown Christian love enough that God will allow us to go into heaven? People will answer, who answer, "Yes, I have done this, I have gone the extra mile," can point to what Jesus said in our text: "Do this and you shall live." That's the evidence that they are on the right path. However, having heard that answer, "Do this and you shall live," the lawyer was a little uncomfortable. His conscience told him that he had not done it. And that is why he asked the question of our text: "What must I do in order to have eternal life?" And that's our theme for today. How can we have eternal life? As we said last week, there's only 2 religions. This week, we're saying there's only two answers to that question. How can I have eternal life? It's either the love that God requires of us or the love that God's Son has given to us. The law tells us what God wants us to do, to not do, and how we are to be. It is God's word, and it applies to us. The gospel is that word of God that tells us what God has done to save us by sending Jesus to be our Savior. Both are words of God. Both have opposite effects. So, as Jesus says in our text, "Do this and you shall live," that's a promise. We can keep the law and have eternal life. But there's an if in there. If we can keep the law perfectly, without one mistake. Now, this distinction between law and gospel is extremely important, not only for our text, but for studying the whole Bible. This distinction means that if the Good Samaritan parable is gospel, then where is the good news if we have failed to love our neighbor as God has, as the Good Samaritan shows? But then if the parable is law, we stand condemned by it because we have not loved our neighbor as we should. The lawyer in our text was a Pharisee. He intended to trap Jesus with this question, "What shall I do in order to inherit eternal life?" Had Jesus listed one commandment over another, then the lawyer would have argued with him about which commandment was the most important or which one had to be kept in order to have eternal life. The lawyer was not asking Jesus how to have eternal life. He was asking what one must do to have eternal life. And the lawyer thought he had trapped Jesus by this question. The lawyer thought he knew the right answer, but did Jesus? Jesus turned the tables on the lawyer by asking him the question, "What do you read the law saying?" And he quoted from that law saying, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus' reply, "Do this and you shall live," is not gospel. For eternal life comes only from keeping the law without one mistake. And so the lawyer felt the sting of the law, and that's why he asked Jesus, "Well, who then is my neighbor? Do I have to love everybody?" And that's why Jesus told the story of the and parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan parable is law then. Jesus trying to teach the lawyer what he had failed to do in order to keep the law and obtain eternal life. Now Jesus pictures the priest and the Levite as people who were coming from Jerusalem back to their homes. Every year, during 1 month of the year, 1 week of the year, a certain number of priests and Levites served at the temple, and they took turns with different things. Sometimes they would be at the altars, other times they'd be in the temple, as John the Baptist's father Zacchaeus was when he offered incense. Other times they would be preparing the sacrifices. All sorts of jobs during that week. They had fulfilled their week, and now they're going home. And they met this person who was half beaten and half dead on the side of the road. Now, the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho is through some hills, and it was known to harbor criminals and thieves, and so the fear of death, a fear of being assaulted by others, that this man might be a decoy, and people would rob them while they're helping this young man, could have been part of the decision to pass by on the other side. But you see, they had no concern for this man. And in doing so, they violated the fifth commandment, which says, "You shall not murder." Failure to help somebody in need like this man is murder. Because James says, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin." The priest and Levite failed to do good, and so they committed sin. The Samaritans were a group of people that the Jews hated. First of all, they had changed some of the words of the Torah, the five books of Moses, to say that the temple would be built in Mount Gerizim. They also had different rituals, and they descended from not from Abraham, but from someone else. And therefore, they were considered false prophets and false believers. The Jews would not go to their house, would not eat their food, would not even enter their country, but go around Samaria on their journey to Jerusalem. You can think of how shocked the Pharisee lawyer would be if the Samaritan was the one who showed love to his neighbor. Here, the Samaritan is one who helped the man, who bound up his wounds, who took him to the inn on his donkey, who paid the innkeeper to further for care, and if there was more, he would pay more. There was no hint that the person who was wounded and almost dead would have to repay this. The Samaritan's action described what it means to love one's neighbor. And God requires this self-sacrificing love of us. And sometimes he puts people in our way, in our lives, so that we might be that good Samaritan and be kind to others and help them in their need. If we are like the Levite and pass by on the other side, what does that do to us in terms of the law? By the law, you and I shall not live. Now, Jesus had already explained in his Sermon on the Mount God's requirements of the law that involve more than just murder. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. Even calling somebody an empty head or a fool demonstrates murderous thoughts in the heart, breaks the commandment, thou shalt not murder or kill, and therefore puts us under the law. And St. James says, if we keep the whole law and yet offend in just one point, we are guilty of all. And therefore, under the law, you and I deserve God's wrath and eternal death in hell. That's what the law does. Because we have failed to do the good God wants us to do, we have failed, and we have committed the evil that God forbids. And therefore, as we have confessed this morning, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Now, this truth is not intended to beat us down into the ground, to simply say, we're no good, there's no hope, and we're simply bad people. The point of the law is what St. Paul said. The scripture has confined us all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And the law is a tutor that drives us to Christ, because the law hems us in on all sides and says, you can't do it. So the only solution is somebody else has to do it. And that's the gospel. Our only hope is God's love for us. And that love is given to us in Christ Jesus. The only person in the world who was truly the Good Samaritan was Jesus Christ himself. He alone loved the world of sinners. And this love had a purpose, and that's what the word agape in the Greek means. Love with a purpose. And that purpose was to bring us eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, rescued, delivered from eternal death. As God, Jesus certainly could have condemned the lawyer and condemned all the people that he met. He was the perfect one. He is the righteous judge. Everyone else was sinners, but he did not come to condemn. He came to save. In fact, he said, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for all. Jesus had compassion on all the people when he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He reached and spread the word, as we heard in our text. Many rejected that word and turned away from him, as we heard in the gospel lesson. But that wasn't Jesus' fault. They rejected the gospel, the message of salvation, the love of God. But Jesus died for their sins anyway. And this is our hope. This is our God's promise. He laid down his life even for his enemies. He didn't ask for payment in return. He freely gives us salvation through faith in him. All of this is a free grace, gift from God. What a blessing it is to know this, to believe this, and to realize that those who believe in Jesus have eternal life. So the question is not what must I do to have eternal life? The question is, what must Jesus do to give us eternal life? He had to keep the law perfectly in our place. He had to give up his life on the cross to carry our sins, to suffer the eternal judgment of hell on the cross in order that you and I might be forgiven of all our sins, in order that you and I have forgiveness and eternal life. Peter says, you were not redeemed with silver and gold, with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The word redeemed means to buy back with a price. Jesus paid the price that takes us and removes us from hell. And that price is his own death. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus proclaims the forgiveness of all sins. God's wrath has been satisfied. The punishment has been paid for all people. He invites all to believe it, to trust in Jesus, and have eternal life. This is the gospel message that you and I constantly need to hear. For every day we sin much. And the devil continues to say, well, how can you go to heaven? Look at all your sins. And we need to flee for refuge to God's infinite mercy, to hear his gospel, to receive his sacraments, to know that we are washed in the waters of baptism and cleansed, as we heard in our epistle lesson today. All of this is God's grace for us. Now, today we also come with the Lord's Supper. This is Jessica's first supper. Again, we hear and receive the assurance individually that our sins are forgiven. We hear individually that God loves us, that we have eternal life. God wants us to believe that and to be assured of that. And then that sacrament, as we receive God's love, in turn helps us and gives us strength to love others and love our neighbor, to be kind to them, to want to help them, to see where there is a need. And in doing that, we show our love for Jesus and show others that love as well. How can we have eternal life? Knowing Jesus as the Good Shepherd, our Savior, gives us eternal life. May we ever trust Jesus for that. May we ever bless God for his grace and mercy. And as he loves us, may we ask that God help us to love one another and to show that love so that others may know about Jesus and his salvation. God grant this to us all. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.